Anxiety? Sure. Yeah, and too bad for you, you got a substitute teacher this morning. No movie, no study hall, no word search sheets to hand out. He left a lesson plan. I'll pray for you, you pray for me. Lord Jesus, yeah. May we hear you, may we heed you this morning. Sermonize into us, we pray. Amen. Yeah, I'm Byron, and moved down a year or so ago, became part of the body here as well. Thrilled about that. I used to do this every Sunday. And my report is that retirement is pretty nice. And it would be an understatement to say that the Sermon on the Mount is pretty nice. Jesus left us off last week saying that you can't serve two masters. Love one, hate the other. Maybe you'd love one and be ambivalent about the other, however that would go. But no, just doesn't quite work out. Things, stuff, pursuits in life. Is that what's going to sway you? Or maybe alert to the direction of your Creator, submitting to His rule over all that's going on. Would that be the master that you'd serve? So with that in mind, Jesus says, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. He says, isn't your life more than clothes? Isn't life, your life, more than food, your body more than clothes? And it seems that that's an appropriate question. Good nod to, okay. So where are you going? Where is he going with this, Jesus? And he likely didn't go to how many monkeys are jumping on the bed. Or how many monkeys are jumping on typewriters. But I am going to go there. And in fact, that's the question. If there were infinite monkeys jumping on typewriters, the New York Times reported on this a couple weeks ago. And they've got these two Australian washing machine researchers, and they apparently got bored with the water scarcity project that they were working on. So they delved into the question, the infinite monkey theorem. And with this infinite monkey theorem, it asks, if a number of monkeys just started typing, at some point in existence, they would type out the complete copy of Shakespeare's words. It's about 1913. Probability theorist in France began working on this, and it since has been bandied about, and you may have run into it in your reading or apologetics or something someplace. But again, if you had an infinite number of monkeys, or all the monkeys that are available, and whether they're touch typing or whether they're finger punching, at some point in this random typing of theirs, they would pop out or publish a copy of the complete works of William Shakespeare, and these two distracted, kind of bored Australian researchers came to the conclusion that no, they never would. In fact, they couldn't produce Curious George, let alone King Lear. In the time that's left before the universe runs out, which is 10 to the power of 100 years left, the age of the universe, or the expected age. So they added that even if you added or extended the life of the universe billions of times, the random produce of the monkeys wouldn't come up with it. They did say that there's a 1 in 22 billion chance that they type out bananas. Just that word. But of the 1,800 words of Curious George, there is a 1 in Joshua, I mean math guys, girls, 1 in 10 to the 15,000 chance of randomly typing that out. So Dr. Woodcock, one of the researchers there, he wrote, if we replaced every atom in the universe with a universe the size of ours, it would still be orders of magnitude away from making the monkey typing likely to succeed. Is not life more than food, Jesus suggests? Well, time and chance don't suggest the means of publishing the Rosetta Stone, let alone setting banana peeling you at your breakfast seat this morning. You and I, our lives, are the object of organization, of intent behind it. Somehow, we've been organized into existence. And I'm not sure if this illustration is the most important or well handled, but it got me just to consider the fact that you're here, and you are here. And maybe there's a bigger picture going on than how I'll get lunch, or even a winter coat. So we'll go back to Jesus. This is church, and he says, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, your body, what you wear. He says, look at the birds of the air. Do they not reap? They do not. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns. And yet it says, are you not worth much more than they? Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? My son-in-law in Wisconsin, the Green Bay fan, I keep telling him he's much more valuable than the birds. It's kind of the way, see how that goes. The birds, okay, come on, Philadelphia. I need something here. You gotta work with me on this a little bit. Okay, so look at the birds. They don't barn up, they don't sow, they don't harvest. Your heavenly Father feeds them. So it points out that there's a father there, a father And that he's a father above us. It says heavenly father, father in heaven, whatever it would be. But you can see that there's something beyond us, which takes us back to the idea of some organization behind it, that we are here, there's an organization, there's a father over us, he cares for the birds, but he's your father, he's my father, and he's attentive to us. And then the statement that can any of you, by worrying at a single hour to your life, can you alchemize worry? Can something be done with worry that turns it into extra hours or moments in our life? And the answer is, doesn't work that way. We may be able to extend our lives here by better eating, getting exercise, taking your meds, maybe a heart valve that needs to be replaced or something. But using worry to extend our lives, it's not going to accomplish it. So he multiplies his bird illustration with the botanies. And it says, why do you worry about clothes? See all the flowers of the field, they don't labor or spin. He goes on and talks about the grasses that grow up, they green and are thrown into the fire. They're dressed jaw-droppingly by the Father. Will not God much more clothe or dress you? So your bird-feeding Father as alert to you, more so than the daisies. And he says here in verse 30, that's how God clothes those. Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Byron of little faith. Sounds like an English village, doesn't it? Go over the moor to Wee Confidence. Oh yes, it's my friend from Wee Confidence. I'm Byron from Little Faith. You can't serve two masters. But there is one, this one, is my confidence. And my Father above. So at the end of verse 30, or starting in verse 31, is he says, O you, O Byron of little faith, do not worry. Just as he said back at the beginning of the paragraph in 25, don't worry. The NIV translates it pagan. But we might think of it as everyone else, the heathen, the Gentiles, the nations, the ethnics, whatever it would be. Everyone else, it says, runs after these things. But your Father, the one above, he knows what you need. Roll back to that prayer. Before Jesus tells us, you might pray this way, he says, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Also, your Father sees you when you're in that prayer closet, or under that overpass, or wherever you might be. Your Father knows that you need them. Ones without a focus on the Father run after them, they pursue them. Your life's consumed in that. No criticism, because I am easily consumed with those things, taken up with those things. But you, he says, seek first his kingdom. Don't think I'm ending. Yeah. So consider our place under his rule. Consider that we are the ones, the object of his design and his organization. And yes, we live under his authority and his rule over all things. do I have a belief? Do I have a confidence? Do I actually kind of relax back into that God knows me and sees me? There's this phrase in Psalm 131 that says, like a weaned child, at peace on its mother. Might I be like that in the kingdom of God? Kingdom sounds so regimented and authoritative, but in the presence of God. May I be looking, as the psalmist says, like the maiden to her mistress, just saying, all I need is coming from you, I know it's there. Sort of waiting, where's the servant from its master? Is your rest and your confidence there? This Jesus, this triune God, has quite a resume if you're looking for a general manager. Father type, brother, but also, even if we name drop or look around, we see that Jesus is a shepherd, he's a shield, he's a savior, he's the Spirit, the triune God is Spirit around us. It says in Hebrews that he upholds all things by his hand. It says in Colossians, or Paul points out, that he rules over all things. And talking of anxiety and worry, he says, seek first him, his rule. There's not a mom or a dad here that wouldn't be concerned about your household budget, your family health. We sit and we watch houses and homes being obliterated. We can pick up the feed on starvations and just the effect of pandemic. And Jesus says we can't have two masters. Everyone chases after so much stuff, so many things. Set your attention on him. So what we needed was some good advice on handling anxiety this morning. Maybe you were sort of hoping to get around to that. And I mentioned in bringing this airplane to the landing strip that it's 10 years ago, just coming up February 6th, went to a conference over at Church of the Savior, across state lines to come over here and do it. And Ed Welch, one of those guys that maybe on the Mount Rushmore of biblical counseling, Ed talked about anxiety and Emmanuel. Is maybe the biggest point. God with you. God with us is the first line of handling our anxieties and our fears. God is with us, and this is the God that created the universe and upholds it. Dave Powelson was also there at the time, also on Mount Rushmore, and he said that the most common command in Scripture, don't fear. God is with you. Don't fear. Seek him. Rest in him. It's those anxieties and worries that come at us. A couple months ago, Ryan asked me to do this, and it was in October, January 19th. And I'm thinking ahead, wow, the election hasn't happened and it's going to be the inauguration the next day, as well as Martin Luther King Day the next day, as well as Sanctity of Human Life Sunday is around here someplace, one of these Sundays. And it just seemed like many things, we could have many troubles in our minds. And then, yeah, I've had these 3 months to be anxious about. And one of these Sunday mornings, as we were singing through Great is Thy Faithfulness, that lets out, recites morning by morning from Lamentations, new mercies we see in the last verse, it says, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. And you see how that picked that up out of this hymn, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Lord, may thy kingdom come and thy will be done.